Today is the 22nd of August 2017, and we have many passages in the Bible that talk about our relationship with each other, and we are to respect those that are brothers and sisters in Christ. And there are many times when we disagree on certain points in the Bible. There's such a wide variety of subjects contained in the Word of God that it would be almost impossible for us to agree upon everything. The key is, when we have disagreements, what our response should be. And, you know, the longer I live, the more I have come to the conclusion that you cannot coerce someone into believing what you believe. Okay? God is sovereign over what a person believes. And that's virtually about everything. Scripture says that he works all things after the counsel of his own will. And when people want to start getting into contention, or they want to try to force their particular beliefs about words or about meanings or about interpretations of Scripture, it gets to be a problem. It's okay for a person to convey what they think a meaning of a passage is, but I have been as guilty as anyone that when we feel strongly about something, we want to present it in the most persuasive form that we know how, you know. And I think that kind of the rule of what I can discern from reading the Bible is that we present our perspective, and if a person doesn't agree with us, we move on. We don't just keep badgering people. Now, we can convey in written writing, in books, in messages like this format, our beliefs about what God has revealed to us in His Word. But on a personal level, I don't think that it's our job to badger people or to come across that we are the final authority on anything, because we are not the final authority. Christ is the final authority. And he reveals himself to his elect. And so let us not forget that. And I'm talking to myself as much as anyone else, that God is not, in other words, we sometimes try to make ourselves as arbitrary interpreters of the Bible, and the Holy Spirit is the arbitrary interpreter of the Bible, okay? And sometimes we come across as being aloof, or that we have the final and only interpretation of a particular piece of Scripture. One of the real dangers is people that are highly educated want to try to, as a control mechanism, use their knowledge to remain aloof and controlling over people that may not have as much education. I've seen that all the way through my life. I've seen that with Greek scholars. I've seen that with Hebrew scholars. I've seen that with people who are highly educated in grammatics and manuscript analysis. And you know, some of the most precious souls I've met have been some of the most uneducated, and they understand the tenure of God's Word over those that understand the letter of the Word. There's the spirit of the Word, and there's the letter of the Word. And when people start getting into trying to, you know, read too much into words and think they have the final say on words, there's a danger with that. Yes, words mean something. There's no question about that. But we have to interpret Scripture in its total vernacular. Scripture interprets Scripture. And so anyway, this is just something I want to talk about a little bit today, because I think there's a danger when people start thinking that they have absolutely the final say on any particular matter, whatever it is. Scripture is the final authority, and not man's interpretation of it. We can see down through the centuries how that this has been an ongoing problem, and we see it even up to today. You know that how people will take and twist the Scripture to their own liking, and I think we all do it. I don't think it's I think it's a universal problem. I think it's Satan working in the minds of people to try to twist the Scripture. You can take any Scripture and twist it. For an example, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Well, people can get into, well, when is the beginning? Okay, when is the beginning? Well, the beginning marks the demarcation from eternity, and when we start marking time. Okay, but that's why we get into this whole scenario about what constitutes when the beginning began. And that's how people get around the six-day literal creation, don't they? They try to say, well, the beginning really didn't start, you know, until millions of years before it started. I've heard people, you know, they talk about the grand architect of the universe and intelligent design and evolutionary theory and all of Darwinian theory and how it really upholds the Bible. This is all a way of twisting Scripture and making it say something that it doesn't say at all. You know, so we have to be careful when we start saying, taking a word and saying that word really means something differently than what it's conveying in the total context of the very passage we're reading, okay, evidenced by Genesis 1:1. I've heard so many different renditions of Romans 9, you know, the children being not yet born, not having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. Okay, if they were in their mother's womb and they hadn't done any good or evil, then we know that election stood, okay, in the counsels of God, not in the free will of man. I'm just using that as another example. John 3:16 is another example I hear often. Totally, you know, misapplied. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. The question is, who are the whosoever's that believe? Well, if we go back to the beginning of the passage in John 3, Christ himself tells us who those whosoever's are, because he said the Spirit bloweth where it listeth, and no man knoweth the sound thereof. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. Christ also tells us in John 6:29, that this is the work of God, that you believe on him. It's not the work of man. It's not something we drum up in and of ourselves. I've heard people say that our salvation rests in our belief. Salvation doesn't rest in our belief. If we're born and conceived in sin, we can't believe. Salvation rests in the completed work of Jesus Christ, his obedience, his atonement, his blood. That's where our salvation rests. And we cannot believe before we have life. And life originates from God, not ourselves. Satan says, I will rise and be as God. This is the Arminian teaching. This is the Arminian doctrine, that we can, in and of ourselves, you know, and of course, a lot of Arminians deny that we're in a dead state. In fact, a lot of theologians say that, you know, there's a spark of good in all man, and so on. They deny original sin. They deny scriptures that say that that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Can a leper change his spots? Okay. We cannot raise ourselves from spiritual to spiritual life. We can't. It's an impossibility. But there is a whole army of people out there that say, yes, we can. Yes, we can. You know, that we can, in and of ourselves, make a decision that we're going to believe, and by our decision, this brings us life. No, it does not. Christ said, all that the Father has given me will come to me, and all that come to me I will in no wise cast out. But the ones that come to him have already been given to him by the Father. You know, we've gone through this numerous times. Scripture also says that in whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Okay, it doesn't say that he predestinated those that believed before he predestinated them. Okay. Predestinate means to be predetermined what happens before it happens. God's the one that predestinated and predetermined that you would be a recipient of his grace. You didn't determine that you would be a recipient of his grace by believing. You didn't determine that. But there's a whole body of people out there that try to purport that. And everybody wants to talk about our faith, our faith, our faith. You know, listen, he's the author and finisher of our faith. Okay. And by the way, our faith is the faith of Christ and his obedience. You know, we cannot have faith in Christ unless we have the faith of Christ. And so the reason I'm going over these things is that it's, I can present these thoughts, and if someone doesn't want to receive it, I can't coerce them into receiving it or believing it. God's the author and finisher of that. You know, he works all things after the counsel of his own will, you know, and he's eternal. We're, we have unlimited minds. God's mind is unlimited. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's omnipotent. His attributes are much different than the attributes of man. Okay? Man is finite. Man is fickle. Man is limited in his scope of understanding. God is not limited. And even though his creatures try to limit him, and even though his creatures try to purport that man has to let God do something. God does what he wants to regardless. God is not dependent on his creatures. You know, he's independent of his creatures. And even though man tries to put God under his own law, God is the lawgiver. Man is the recipient of God's law. And of course, we know that man cannot keep God's law. He continually breaks his law. And the law was given to us to show us that, to show us that we need a Savior, at least that he shows the elect that. Now, the reprobate will never receive that, because the reprobate are vessels of wrath fitted for destruction, and whereas God's elect are vessels of honor, okay, fitted for honor. So this is just my thoughts this morning about how we respond to not only the Word of God, but how we respond to others who don't necessarily agree with us on some doctrinal or even some contextual point in the Bible. We need to be charitable with people and not try to come across like we are the final say on everything. We may believe very strongly in our position, and we may think that we have all our ducks in order and everything's, you know, the older I get, the more I see that that dialogue is good, but also it's important to realize that we don't, we can never put ourselves on the same level as God Almighty. And there's some people that seem like they kind of do that. I've been guilty of that myself and probably still struggle. We all struggle with, when we feel strongly about something, we want to convey it in the most persuasive and conclusive format as possible. So let's just think on these things, and may God be with you this day.